about 35 years ago, we went through counseling, and I thought the Lord was going to be dealing with him. I mean, we all know he had issues, right? There was infidelity, drugs, just about everything you can imagine. Of course, the Lord had a big work to do in me as well.
An honest soul, as we start the show today, welcome to Intentional Living. You know, we've called today's show, by the way, Fool Me Once. You know, it's kind of that feeling of, hey, you fooled me once, but not the second time around. What do you do when you have someone you love, someone in that intimacy of marriage, and there's been a break in trust? How do you handle that? How do you get that back on track? We're going to be talking to some wonderful people coming up here in just a little bit. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. We'd love your comments. Maybe you can share a story with us on our Storyline Live today. You're welcome to do that at 888-888-1717. However, for the program, this is a best of Intentional Living, which means we have the callers already set to go for the program today. They've already been recorded. So we'll get to those in just a moment. You know, when I think about this topic of rebuilding trust, I can't think of how any of us can get through a 50-year marriage and not have moments where there has to be forgiveness and a reconciliation and a reconnection. Sometimes it's a more serious issue than other times, and I understand that. But there's something powerful and beautiful with forgiveness and restoration in a relationship, and we're going to get to some of those stories here today. Again, share your comment on our comment line, 888-888-1717. And we're going to get back and hear the rest of Nina's story coming up here in just about 2 minutes, so don't go away.
I'm calling to offer a bit of an experience that I had. My wife and I got divorced about 7-8 years ago, and there was no infidelity. There was a number of problems, no one person at fault. During that period of time, I had did some soul searching, got into the Word, and it was very clear to me that there was no grounds for this divorce. I committed myself to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I want this opportunity and this whole process to glorify you. And I focused on my relationship with God, asked on a daily basis for the Father to send His Holy Spirit to minister to my wife. We were obedient to the Father, worked on our individual concerns, and we're together.
There you go. Very good. You know, there's an old saying that says, you can fool me once, it's, kind of shame on you, but fool me twice, and it's shame on me, right? And I think some, and we got calls already indicating this, it's this repetitive behavior or what have you in a marriage that goes on and on and on, and yet we know that Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7. Which is a lot of times, 490, and I don't think it was a matter of even counting 490, right? It's just a matter of understanding that there's a dance that goes on that says you will fail me, and I need to forgive, and that goes on in marriage, and it's this continual understanding of this dynamic. In every case is different. How do you deal with this? I do know this. I wrote in the book Starve for Affection. Let me say this. About the book Starve for Affection, I put one chapter in this book that I think has probably sold more copies of the book than anything. It's overcoming roadblocks through what I call active respect. And I lay out very clearly in that chapter, how in the world do you actively respect your spouse enough in a marriage to hold them accountable? Because there's a lot of grace and there's a lot of forgiveness, but there's also consequences for crummy behavior, see? And that's true in the Christian community as well. The good news is, when God saves us from the sinful life we have, all those consequences for eternity are resolved. See, we're with Him for eternity. But the earthly consequences are still there. If you've blown it your whole life and been a financial poor steward and you ask God for forgiveness, you're going to still have consequences. That's true of health and other things as well. But the ultimate consequences of God's love rescues us. That's the good news, but we still have to be intentional. And so my message today is, please, sir, ma'am, you're ready on the verge of doing something stupid in your marriage, don't do it. I'm one on the wall top here yelling to you from the top of the wall, don't do it for your own sake. Don't do it. Okay. Okay, Nina's on the line with a, I think with her own story. Nina, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there. How do you relate to this today?
About 45 years ago, my husband and I were married. We were together for 7 years, split up for 7 years, divorced the whole nine yards. And then about 35 years ago, we went through counseling, and I thought the Lord was going to be dealing with him. I mean, we all know he had issues, right? There was infidelity, drugs, just about everything you can imagine. And, of course, the Lord had a big work to do in me as well. And as I was going through the counseling, I wanted him to be saved. I didn't want to get back together. There was no trust there. I didn't think there ever could be. And going through it, I really became even more and more confused because my husband wanted to get back together. And one day I was really crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, how can I ever trust him again? And other people say this happens to them. It doesn't happen to me very much, but it certainly seemed like the Lord audibly spoke to me and said, do you trust me? And I gulped and I said, yes, Lord, but and in the middle of my butt, I was dumbstruck, and I realized that the Lord was saying to me that I had to put my husband in his hands. And so I said, okay, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. We got remarried in 1985.
Wow.
And we've been together 30 years now, and he's got the same name, but he's a totally different man.
Yeah.
And I think I am too. And I want to tell other people that you can trust the Lord and not have to worry about that other person. They're going to fail you at times. And we've still been, you know, through a certain amount of struggles since then, but nothing like it's been so revolutionary and so different. I'm still to this mm-hmm. day blown away.
You know, and I think, Nina, the for the Christian, you know, here we're a Christian community here listening to this and participating in this discussion. And so we have a spiritual dynamic. If this was just a earthly, world-focused, temporal discussion, you'd say, you know, what do you trust God for what? I mean, but we trust God. But at the same time, and I hear the message, he's a new creation. He became a new person. And I think when as Christians, we need to approach this thing of how do we rebuild trust to say, yes, I got to put my spouse into God's hands. I expect God to do a work in their lives, but there are still consequences and there's still boundaries that have to be put into place. I talk about it in terms of active respect. And in fact, let me just read just a little bit from the book. I said on page 131 that active respect shows a person that we love and respect him enough or her enough to hold them accountable for their behavior through natural and logical consequences. And I go on to talk about what those are and how that works by understanding that it's okay. Man, in fact, it's encouraged that we go through a process of reconciliation, of restoration, and forgiveness, and people heal and restore, but there are going to be consequences in that process, which can be good. It can be a good part of rebuilding a marriage. Okay, thank you, Nina. More calls in a moment.
Hi, my name is Chantel, and my comment is on living intentionally and having it not work out as you expected. I've been married to a man now for 5.5 years, and we went through the church and committed to God, and only to have him then turn and have an affair. I keep trying to be intentional about loving and forgiving, so that's my experience.
All right, let's get back to calls here. I'm sure many relate. Terry is on the line. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, it's about trust. I've been married for 30-some years, and At first, my husband had an issue. He was addicted to cocaine, and he has been clean from that for, gosh, a good 15 years or more.
Good.
And so, and he changed, and it's extremely proud of him. But in the background, there's always been this issue of pornography, where I find... I go on the computer and then there's some sort of glitch and I find out from the history that it's because of between him going, when he goes on the computer and he's looking up his hobbies, that he's looking at pornography. Mm-hmm. And I have confronted him with it and he always says, oh no, it wasn't me. And, but now that our children are all gone, and...
Did you believe that when he's told you that before? Did you believe him?
No.
Okay.
But now I happened to go on because there was some kids playing on the computer the other night, and so I went on history to make sure that, you know, that nobody went on anything they weren't supposed to. And I found out that Betty's still looking at pornography, but now it's more of an extreme type.
Let me ask you, is that something acceptable to you?
Never has been.
Okay. Does he know that you found this?
Yes, I confronted him that night, and she didn't say a word. He just looked at me, and I just talked gently to him about it, and just said, you know, and we need to, this is a problem. You know, we need to talk about it in our marriage. And she never said a word. And then on the fourth day, and she's hardly talked to me, and he sleeps on the couch. And
so it's getting buried. In other words, it's the elephant in the room in this case, Terry, and it goes back to, sounds like, a history where you didn't believe him when he talked to you before and said it wasn't his, and so there's a lack of I call it act of respect. Let me just share for you, Terry, and others what I think in this whole case of trustworthiness in marriage. There's different levels, and I talk about there's unthoughtfulness. In marriage, sometimes we're just unthoughtful. You know, you don't put the toilet seat down, you don't park the car in the right place, you're not home in the right, that's just being unthoughtful, and those things need to be confronted as well. You know, those aren't the things that we're going to say, hey, you know, I'm going to really hold you accountable, but we're going to confront those because those are not loving acts. Those are not acts that say I love you and I care for you. But then we get into the whole arena of where our vows are being broken, you know, the cherish and the oneness and all the things that God intends. And I think when those things occur, we've got to get the proverbial cards on the table face up. And there's a little three-step process I write about in Star for Affection. First of all, is to really focus on the present behavior. I mean, what's right in front of you? Be interesting to have that on the screen when your husband walked in, and there it is, to have him respond to actually seeing you seeing it. Now, that's a different level than just saying, hey, I saw this, isn't there? I mean, that would be pretty... Guys, wouldn't that be pretty provocative? Wouldn't that be pretty, oops, you walk in, there it is. She sees it, you see it. There's no kids around any longer in the house. There it is. You don't even have to say anything. There it is. It's bold. It's clear. It's offensive. And I think it's clear that we've got to focus on present behavior very specifically. When we say, hey, this kind of behavior is not acceptable. I mean, this is what it does to my spirit. This is what it does to our marriage. There are certain things at a certain level that are not acceptable. Secondly, is to clearly express wants, needs, and desires. I think sometimes we dance around these issues. What is it that's going to be acceptable and not acceptable in your marriage when it comes to these serious matters? There are points where you got to draw a line in the sand and say, this is not acceptable. Abuse is not acceptable. Pornography is not acceptable. Unfaithfulness, these are not things that can be tolerated in a relationship that's going to be honoring God. Now, does that mean there can't be forgiveness? Certainly there can be. And restoration? Certainly. But the ball, and this is step three, the ball goes back onto the spouse's side that says, hey, what are your intentions? I mean, I'm just sharing with you, here it is, here's what's not acceptable and why, and I love you and I want this to work. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of emotion in all of this that we always have to guard against in terms of clouding the discussion, but what's going to happen? What happens too often in our marriages and in relationships in general is things get pushed under the rug and they don't get dealt with, and I'm telling you, things that get buried alive, like emotions, don't die. They just grow, and they get to be more serious. And I think it's important, because I'm an advocate of marriage. I'm an advocate of restoring marriage. I'm an advocate of making marriages work. And I believe that with God's help and God's sustaining power through His Holy Spirit, marriages that are in trouble can be restored, but there has to be a sense of commitment and responsibility and change. I mean, let's just face it. These are the simple things that have to happen, basic things that have to happen to make a marriage work. Hold on, I want to send you my book, Terry, Star for Affection, and outline a little more for you. What I believe on this, and I believe it's biblical. Hey, listen, I love you guys. I want the best for you. My heart breaks when I hear over and over a brokenness that happens between a man and woman, one standing in front of God and man making a commitment to each other, and then when that breach gets broken, and it does over and over and over in our culture, we know that. Television just seems to be an entertainment process every night. TV just exposes that kind of nonsense, frankly. God has something better for you. You can start today in your marriage, you and your spouse, if you're committed together to do this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I know that. But with God's help, it's possible. Rebuilding trust, it's a commitment to say, I choose today to work on my marriage. We get two people doing that, boy, that's a force to be reckoned with.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
My husband is encouraging quite frequently, which would seem like a typical thing to do. However, I grew up in a very critical household, and as a child, I always heard a lot of discouraging comments, a lot of negativity. I wasn't used to that when I got married, so my husband was constantly building me up, and 12 years later, he's still doing that, and tell you what, it's made all the difference in the world. Every day he tells me he loves me, every day he tells me how wonderful I am, every day he tells me about my strengths and my talents, and he doesn't seem to tire of it, so I'm just blessed.
Wow, he doesn't tire of it because he loves you, and that's the way it should be. That, you know, that's a normal marriage. Unfortunately, it tends to be abnormal in our culture and our world and with the busyness of everything going on, but that's an intentional marriage right there. Building into our spouse's life through the words that we speak and through being trustworthy and how we behave and what we say, connecting with our head, our heart, and our hands, our head with our thinking together, emotionally connecting with each other, with our hearts, as God intends for us to do, and then with our hands, that's really serving each other. Those are three really powerful things that we can do and need to do and should do when it comes to being intentional in our relationship. And hopefully that's something, that testimony is a reminder that the words that we speak, as the scripture says, we want to be acceptable in God's sight, but we also, I hope, will be acceptable in the sights of our spouse and those that we love. Talking about intentional marriage today and how to be intentional when it comes to be the kind of person that can rebuild a broken marriage and maintain a marriage for a lifetime. Here's another thing I've learned on an airplane. Life is unpredictable. You think everything is going to be okay, and then all of a sudden your plane gets diverted. I can remember one flight, I was flying back to Phoenix, because I tend to fly in and out of Phoenix and then drive home because it's just quicker with non-stops. Well, I non-stop from wherever I was coming to Phoenix. Phoenix had bad weather, so they diverted us to Tucson. But my car was in Phoenix. You know, when we're on an airplane, we can learn a lot of lessons. And I put that lesson together because there's some really practical applications about how we get on an airplane, how we relate with other people. The good and the bad of flying these days can be an example of what can be the good and bad in our own family and our relationships. So anyway, that's the featured lesson, members. I hope you'll listen to it. It's kind of a fun lesson, a practical lesson. I'd love your feedback after you get a chance to listen to it, share with those that you love. And by the way, for those of you who are not a part of the Intentional Living family, I hope you'll come and join us today. Your support's making a difference. You know, when you become a monthly member in this very critical time as we're counting down to a special 10-day emphasis coming up next week, your gift is making a difference. And by the way, we have a special drawing going on. You can find out about that when you go to our website and join in today. Don't miss it. Go on over to theintentionallife.com. And I want to say thank you for your support, for your faithfulness, for standing with us. All you have to do today to join us is either call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. We had some time in worship on Sunday and a great lesson and teaching from our pastors, and then yesterday spending some time with our family and enjoying time together. That was a lot of fun. And now as we're moving into fall with school and a lot of other activities, we want you to know that Intentional Living is here for you. It'll continue to encourage you in your life and your walk with Christ. So again, come and join us. We'd love to have you be on the team as we labor together for God's glory. How do you do it? Call 888-888-1717. Or go on over to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support. Are you and your spouse on the same page in your marriage? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4 that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. There are three things that will help you in your marriage. Number one, realize that you need to have common enemies. There are enemies to your marriage. It might be money, it could be family, it could be work, it could be children. But the reality is that you're standing together as a couple and unified around the things that are important to you. Number two, you need common goals. Something you're looking forward to down the road. It could be a big goal or a small goal, but something you're working on. And number three, you need common values. What you believe, what's important to you, what you value in life. And when you do those three things, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Sonia from Alabama. Listen to your show every day in the afternoon. Just wanted to thank you for being on and for pointing out all the ways that we can be intentional. As far as our marriage goes, my husband and I, we haven't been married very long. But one of the biggest things is we go through these cycles where we'd have a conflict and we'd try to solve it and it just wouldn't work. It was always a lose-lose situation. So recently we started going to counseling and it has helped point out a lot of things, and we've started working on lifting up our marriage and being just very intentional about making this work and doing what God would have us to do. And just wanted to say thank you and have a blessed week.
Well, we're glad to be here. It's a day like today. I wish we had a three-hour show instead of a half hour, because there's got a lot more than we have time for. Candace posted on Facebook on this topic. She says, when you have been betrayed before, how do you rebuild trust in men? For example, when your husband doesn't answer the phone, you know, how do you keep from automatically thinking it's because he's cheating on you? In other words, your mind going into those places. I think many can relate. Go right ahead, Carolyn.
Okay. I wanted to just tell you, my husband and I have been married about 30 years now, and about 10 years ago, we just really were not getting along. Kind of, it just had always been rocky. And about 10 years ago, we went to the National Institute of Marriage.
Uh-huh.
It was like a 4.5-5-day intensive where we sat around with two counselors and four other couples, and it was like just group therapy every day,
right,
all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wonderful. They really taught us how to communicate.
What one thing did you learn that you want to share with someone who can attend. By the way, they're good people. What's one thing that you'd share with someone who can't go to that kind of intense workshop?
It helped me to focus on me and what I felt, not what I thought my husband was making me feel, but what I felt when we had a conflict. And then he could respond to what I felt rather than him responding to me attacking him because he made me feel so bad.
Yeah, you know, in fact, Carolyn, I was reading a book last night. It was talking about intentions, interestingly enough, and it was talking about considering the best intentions. I think so often we follow this formula that I've taught over the years. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by what they do or what they say, not by what their intentions are. And if we can expect better intentions from another person and start with that basis, it can be healthy. It can be healthier. Doesn't mean we live in a state of denial when there's facts in front of us, but when we start with good intentions in our minds as opposed to bad intentions from another person, it makes a big difference. That's a good reminder. All right, thank you, Carolyn. Quickly, I want to answer Candace. She asked the question, you know, been betrayed, how do you rebuild trust? You know, there's a scripture that says, set your mind on things above. And I would say to you, Candace, if you're a Christian person, that you set your mind on Christ. What I mean is your mind can be your friend or it can be your enemy. And the scripture says, whatever things are true and right and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things. We deal with facts when they're in front of us. We deal with the obvious things, and sometimes we ignore those because we don't want to deal with them, but we ought to. They're there. They're facts. But many times we deal with, a lie that comes from Satan himself at times, sometimes just from our own minds, that get us off track from speaking and looking at the truth. And I would encourage you and everyone, if you've been betrayed and you're trying to rebuild trust, you know, be very clear with your expectations. Be very clear. And I'd say to those who are trying to rebuild their trust that they have broken, hey, listen, be a trustworthy person. If you're going to be home at 5, be home at 5. Call if you're not. Not that you get into bondage, but to the extent that you're willing to show your spouse that you mean business about being trustworthy is going to help in the process of rebuilding trust. Intentional Living's on the air every day to remind us what the scripture says about Ephesians 5:10, where Paul says, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And it's because of his intentional love, he loves us so intentionally every day, that we in turn should be intentional in our love for those around us, our family, our kids, our neighbors, reaching people for Christ. That's the message of Intentional Living. I thank you for joining me today and our team. And we'll be here again next time from the Intentional Living Center with more help as you walk intentionally with Him every day.